You're listening to a UC San Diego podcast.
Today I'm going to finish 7.4. So I already started 7.4. It was about partial fractions. So today I'm going to talk about we already learned about substitution before, right? So it means integration by substitution. So trigonometric functions means sine, cosine, tangent, and so on, right? So we already learned about integration by substitution. So this is just a special case of that. This is just the case that our substitution uses trigonometric functions. So we use the following trigonometric identities. So we're going to use these identities that always hold for trigonometric functions. So sine squared plus cosine squared is always 1. And the other one, 1 plus tangent squared is 1 over cosine squared. The second one, I proved it last lecture, right? Last lecture, I proved the second identity. So find this, let's suppose that we want to find this integral. Right. So I want to use those properties to do this some substitution to make it simpler, right? I wanted to make it simpler. That's the reason for substitution. So 1 minus x squared, so I know that 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared. So if I sub in sine, then I'm going to have 1 minus sine squared, and that's cosine squared. And cosine squared, the square root of cosine squared is cosine, right? So all this just becomes cosine in that case. So this is a good place to apply trigonometric substitution, right? So you have to decide when it's useful to use this method. So in this case, it is. Because you have 1 minus x squared, and you have 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared. So if x was sine, then this is 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared, and then So let's do that. Let's do that. So let x be sine theta. That's the substitution, right? So far, before when we did integration by substitution, we always say let w be something in terms of x, right? We say let w be, let's say, x squared. But in this case, it's again substitution, but we just say x is equal to something in terms of theta. You can say theta is arc sine x. Like this is equivalent to saying that theta is arc sine x. That's the same thing. And theta is like w, right? We always show the variable by w. In this case, instead of w, we are using theta. Right? That's just the name. We can say sine of w, but that's just the name we're using. So that's a substitution. So in this case, what is dx? Then dx, the derivative of x with respect to theta is cosine theta. And so this implies that dx is cosine theta d theta. Right? Yeah, so this is a little bit different from the substitution we did before. Before we had w in terms of x, and then, so here you can just, here theta is w, right? Instead of w, I call it theta here. And then we always find dw d theta, right? But in this case, we find, dw dx. In this case, we find dx dw. But that's, so both of them are correct. So in the end, I have dx in terms of d theta. And so now, so this is equal to, integral, again, you have 1 minus sine squared, right? So this is a square root of 1 minus sine squared theta, and dx. What is dx? Dx is cosine theta d theta. So times cosine theta d theta. So I replace dx by this. And now everything is in terms of theta, right? Everything is in terms of theta. And 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared. So a square root of cosine squared theta is absolute value of cosine theta. It depends. So this is, let's just do that. So this is cosine theta divided by absolute value of cosine theta d theta. So a square root of cosine squared is, the square root of anything squared is absolute value. So I need to know if cosine theta is positive or negative, because then I can tell what absolute value is. So when I do the substitution, I can restrict the theta. I can say I want theta to be between. So here, I can say that x is sine theta, and I want theta to be between minus pi over 2 and pi over 2. Because sine repeats itself, right? I mean, so if you look at the graph of sine, It's always between minus 1 and 1. But, so, just this is just an aside. So if you look at the graph of sine, this is sine theta. And this is minus pi over 2, and this is pi over 2. So it's between minus 1, this is minus 1, this is 1. It's between minus 1 and 1, between minus pi over 2 and pi over 2. And after pi over 2, it's again goes back between 1 and minus 1. So you can always assume it's here. So I want x to be sine theta, right? So x is something between minus 1 and 1, and I want that to be sine theta. I can say that theta is this. So if x is, let's say, here, I can say that theta is this, or I can say that theta is that. So there are different choices because, and then, or I can say theta is this. So there are different choices, but if you say that I want theta to be between minus pi over 2 and pi over 2, then you have only one choice. So we always assume this, and if you do that, then the good thing is, if you assume that, then cosine, in that interval, cosine is always positive. So cosine of theta, if theta is here, cosine is always positive. So this just becomes integral cosine theta over cosine theta d theta. And that's just integral of 1 d theta. An integral of 1 is just theta, right? Integral of 1 is theta. And what was theta? Theta was arc sine x. So don't worry about this too much. So I just always assume this, and because of that, cosine is positive. And because it's positive, I can get rid of the absolute value. Any question? How do I know that? Okay, so the question is, how do I know that theta is arc sine x, right? I have x in terms of theta, right? I have x in terms of theta, and I want to find theta in terms of x. So if x is sine theta, then that's just a definition of arc sine. The definition of arc sine is, if x is sine theta, then theta is arc sine x. That's just the definition of arc sine, and that's arc sine x. So theta is arc sine x from here. So what if, let's say another example. What's the integral of 1 over square root of 25 minus x squared? So again, I want to do trigonometric substitution, something like this, but I have 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared, but I don't have 1 over there, right? I have 25. So I need to do something else. I still can do that, but I have to modify it a little bit, right? So 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared. I can't just say x is sine, because then that's going to give me 25 minus sine squared. Right? So what I can do is I can make that 1. This is dx. So I can make that 1 by factoring 25. So let's factor 25. If I factor 25, then, so I factor whatever number I have here, and then if I do that, 25, that becomes 1. So this means 1 over the square root of 25 times the square root of 1 minus x squared over 25, right? Okay, and so this means integral 1 over 5, so the square root of 25 is 5, right? So this is, and then it's 1 over the square root of 1 minus x squared over 25 dx. 1 over 5 times that, and by that's the property of integral, I can bring 1 over 5 outside of the integral. So that's 1 over 5 integral of 5. So now it's that form, right? This is 1 minus something squared, and I can use the same substitution. So I want to use the fact that 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared. So I want this whole thing to be sine squared, so I can use that formula. So this is something squared. Whenever you have x squared over some number, you can write it as something squared like this. So 1 over 5, 1 over the square root of 1 minus x over 5 squared. Right? I want it to be of this form, 1 minus something squared, so that I can use trigonometric substitution. I can use that formula of 1 minus sine squared. Now what's the substitution? Now I can do the substitution. So what should I choose here to be sine theta? X over 5, yes. So let x over 5 equals sine theta, which means that is x is 5 sine theta. So it means this. X is 5 sine theta. And now I can do this. Now, the rest of it is similar, right? The rest of it is similar to this one. So, then dx d theta is, what's the derivative of that? Derivative of that is 5, and sine becomes cosine. And so dx is 5 cosine theta d theta. And then the rest of it, instead of dx, you replace it by this, 5 cosine theta d theta. Instead of x over 5, you put sine theta. So the rest of it is similar. So then, similar. Right. So try to do the rest of it just for an exercise to see how it works. So now, or let's say another example. Integral of 1 over square root of, let's say, 16 minus 9x squared. Right? So again, I want it to be of the form 1 minus something squared, right? So here I have 25. To make it 1, I factor 25. Here I have 16. To make it 1, I factor 16. So this is the square root of 16. So I factor 16, and then I'm going to get 1 minus 9 over 16 x squared. Dx. Right? So you factor 16, and then you do exactly what I did over there, right? You just, so this is, I just want to skip some steps, right? You do exactly what I did there, and then you're going to get 1 over 4. So I'm skipping some steps here. But in the, you're going to get 1 over 4, and then 1 over the square root of 1 minus right? So that's a square root of 16 is 4, and then you bring it out, the same thing that we did here. And again, I want it to be 1 minus something squared, right? I want it to be 1 minus something squared. So I want this to be something squared. Like here, x squared over 25 is x over 5 squared. So you have x squared, and you can make it something squared. So this is 1 over 4, square root of integral of 1 over square root of 1 minus 3 over 4x squared. Right? Dx. So 9 over 16 is 3 over 4. And so now you can do substitution. So let... So now what is sine theta here? It's 3 over 4x. So let so that is x is 4 over 3 sine theta. So x is 4 over 3 sine theta, and then you do exactly the same as before, right? So another thing I said we're going to use is this. 1 plus tangent squared of theta is 1 over cosine squared of theta. So this is another trigonometric identity that we're going to use. So what's the integral of 1 over so probably you already know this. If you already memorized this, the integral of 1 over 1 plus x squared is arctan. But let's just prove that using this. So again, I have 1 plus x squared here. So I can't use that, right? I don't have 1 minus. If you have 1 minus x squared, then you can use that 1 minus sine squared is cosine squared. But I don't have I have plus here. So 1 plus x squared, I can use this one. 1 plus tan squared is this. So we are using the trigonometric identities to make these integrals simpler. So 1 plus x squared is just this, so I can use that. So what's the substitution here? X is what? So let... What is it? Tangent. Yeah, exactly. So let x be equal to tangent of theta. Because then, instead of this, I have 1 plus tangent squared, and then I can use that identity to solve this. So then, dx d theta. So what's the derivative of tangent? The derivative of tangent is, So actually the derivative of tangent is 1 plus tangent squared. So the derivative of tangent, you just can just, this is 1 over cosine squared of theta. 1 over cosine squared of theta. That's secant squared, right? So 1 over cosine is called secant, but yeah, so that's it. This, so, and so, dx is d theta over cosine squared theta, right? So now I can find dx, and then I can replace it there to solve that. So, so this integral is equal to integral of 1 plus tangent squared of theta. So x is tangent, so I replace x here by tangent of theta. And dx is d theta over cosine squared. So this is 1 over cosine squared of theta d theta. So I replace dx by this. So dx is this. So I replace dx by that. And then we can solve that. 1 plus tangent squared is 1 over cosine squared, right? So 1 over this is going to be cosine squared. So this is 1 over 1 over cosine squared of theta times 1 over cosine squared of theta d theta. So 1 over 1 over that, it just means cosine squared, right? Cosine squared of theta, 1 over cosine squared of theta, d theta. And this just means 1. Integral of 1 is theta. And what is theta? Exactly, right? So x is tangent of theta, so by definition, it means that theta is arctan of x. So theta is arctan of x. Any question? Yeah. Here?
No, it's the scenario of the numbers before tan theta. You should have here, let x equal tan theta.
Here?
What if we have three portions of it? Is it actually arctan of theta?
So the question is, what if I say let 3 over 4x is equal to this? Then what's the answer, right? So if you do that, so that's not going to help you, because if you do that, then you have 3 over 4 tan theta. And if I replace that here, I'm going to have 1 plus 3 over 4 squared tan squared. I don't know what that is, right? I just know that 1 plus tan squared is this. But I don't know what is 1 plus 3 squared over 4 squared tan squared. So I can't replace that by anything like this. I can't use this identity. So you have to do an appropriate substitution such that you can solve the integral. You can't just do any substitution. You have to do the substitution so that it helps you to find the integral.
Okay.
If I do that, then I can't find the integral in that substitution. So integral of so the same way as before, I can modify it a little bit to make it, right? I mean, let's say this. Again, I want to use that, so I want 16 to be 1. So this is very similar to what we did before, right? Just want to mention it. So it's the same. So you factor 16 here. Factor 16, and then you have 1 over 16. You can bring it out of the integral. And this is 1 plus, right? X squared over 16 means x over 4 squared. And the reason is, again, I want to make it 1 plus something squared so that I can use that formula. So now I can say, let x over 4 be equal to tangent theta. So let this be tangent theta, and then you have 1 plus tangent squared of theta, and then x, so x is 4 tangent theta. And then you do the, and then the rest of it is similar, right? So this is just a, yeah. Any question? Yeah. I don't want to spend the whole lecture on this. Yeah, you can. I haven't computed it myself, but if you do exactly the same thing I did there, you can find the answer. Yeah. So in the end, okay. So the question is, what is theta in the end? So tangent theta is this, right? So by definition, theta is going to be arctan of x over 4, right? So dx d theta here is 4. So what's the derivative of tan? Derivative of tan, as before, is 1 over cosine squared, right? Derivative of tan is 1 over cosine squared. So dx is 4 over cosine squared theta d theta. So you find dx in terms of d theta, and then you substitute whatever you have over here. So now... So this integral, right? So this let's call that star. So the star, this is equal to 1 over 16 integral of 1 over 1 plus x over 4 is tan, right? X over 4 is tangent, so this is tangent squared of theta. And then dx. What is dx? So dx is here. So dx is 4 over cosine squared theta d theta. Yes. Here? I don't, because so I said x. So the question is, I need the 4 here, 1 plus tangent squared over 4. But I don't need that because x over 4 is tangent theta, right? X over 4 is tangent theta. So over here, x over 4 is tangent. I replace x over 4 by tangent of theta, and so this is 1 plus tangent squared of theta. Yeah. The whole reason I did this substitution was because I just in the end I'm just going to get 1 plus tangent squared. And again, I used that identity, 1 plus tangent squared is 1 over cosine squared, and then I So again, I'm going to skip some steps here. So if this is 1 plus, so this is 1 over cosine squared, and this cancels out with this one. So all you're going to get is 4. So you're just going to get 4. 4 d theta. And this means 1 over 4 integral of 1 d theta. So 4, I can bring it out of integral, right? 4 is a number, so... Here? Yeah, you can bring 4 out from, and this step 2, yeah. You can bring 4 out here, or you can bring it in the end, yeah. So this is 1 over 4 theta plus c. And what is theta? So from here, by definition, x over 4 is equal to this. It means that theta is arctan of x over 4. So this is 1 over 4 arctan of x over 4. Plus c, right? So actually, if you look at the table in the back of the book, you can find this integral by looking at the table, right? This integral is there. So in the back of the book, it tells you what is integral of 1 over x squared plus a squared. It tells you that this is equal to this. This is the proof, right? This is the proof why that's equal to this. If you look at in the if you look at the back of the book, you get exactly the same answer. Any question? So I want to go to 7.5. So approximating definite integrals. Using Riemann's, so using Riemann sums. We already did that using left endpoints, right? Right endpoints, and then we found different approximations. So we had the So n is the number of intervals, right? N is the number of intervals. So I want to have, so when I say approximate using left endpoints, I have to tell you how many intervals. So this is e to dx. This is the graph of e to dx. So this is 1. This is 1. This is 0. This is 1. And let's say this is 3. Let's say this is 1. And let's say this is 3. So this is 2. Right? So I want this, so the interval is 1 to 3. So this is my interval from 1 to 3. And I want to to be four. I want to have four subintervals. So this is given that n is four. So I want to divide this interval into four equal subintervals. So if I wanted to divide it into four, I have to have, so this is, I have to have one and then one and a half, and then two and then two and a half, right? This is four. Now I have four subintervals. So one, one and a half, it gives me this, and then two is here, and two and a half is here. So using left endpoints means that I want to use these rectangles to approximate the area under the curve, and I want to use left endpoints for each. So each subinterval, look at the first subinterval from 1 to 1 and a half. I want to use left endpoints, so I want to use 1. So I want this to be one side of my rectangle. That's the left. So in this interval, the left one is 1, the right one is 1 and a half. So I get, so that's, I want the area of that rectangle and then the area of this rectangle. So that for the second subinterval, the left point is 1 and a half. The right point is 2 for this one. And the left point is 1 and a half, so I want one side of my rectangle to be this left, to be this one. This is the left. And I get this. For the next one, 2 and 2 and a half, the left one is 2. The right one is 2 and a half, so the left one is 2. I want one side of my rectangle to be f of 2. And f of 2 is here. So I want the area of this rectangle, and the last one is the area of that rectangle. So this area is called the Riemann sum using left endpoints. So now, what is that area? This is f of 1 times this length. So the area of each rectangle, so area of rectangle is this side times that side. This side is always half. So this side is half, this times is f of 1. This side is half, this side is f of 1 and a half, and so on. So I'm going to get f of 1 times 1 and a half. So f here is e to the x, right? In general, it's f. In this case, it's e to the x plus f of 1 and a half times. So this is not 1 and a half. This is half. Right? This length is just half. F of 1 and a half times half plus f of 2 times half plus f of 2 and a half times half. So I'm going to get half. I can factor this, and then I have f of 1 plus f of 1 and a half plus f of 2 plus f of 2 and a half. I can factor half. So this gives me half times f of 1 is e to the 1. F of 1 and a half is e to the 1 and a half. F of 2 is e to the 2. So f is this function, right? This function is called f. In this case, it's e to the x. So this is the graph of e to the x. And this is x. So that's using left endpoints. And as you see, this is an underestimate of the actual value of the interval, right? So this is an underestimate because this red region is less than the area under the curve. The area of this less region is less than the area. So this is an underestimate. This is an underestimate because this is increasing. This graph is increasing. If you use right endpoints, you're going to get overestimate because that graph is increasing. Yeah. So if you have an increasing graph, then left endpoints gives you underestimate, right endpoints gives you overestimate. So we're going to give this a name. So we call this left 4. So when I say compute left 4, I mean use left endpoints. So that's just the name I'm going to give that to this value, right? So I call that left 4. So Yeah. So left 4 means that I want 4, so I want n to be 4, and I want to use left endpoints. Similarly, you have right
4. Right
4 means that I want to use right endpoints. So in this case, this is going to be half times e to the 1.5 plus e to the 2 plus e to the 2.5 plus e to the 3. So if you do that, you're going to get that. And that's an overestimate. It's an overestimate. So the other thing, now we want to do something else. So I want to approximate not using left and not using right. I want to use the middle point. So that's a new approximation, right? So in each interval, I want to use exactly the middle point. So this is called mid 4. So instead of left and right, I want to use the middle point. So this is going to give me half times, instead of e to the, so the first, let's call that, so f of, I don't want to use 1. 1 is the left one, and 1.5 is the right one. I want to use the middle. The middle is going to be 1.25. So that's the middle point in the first interval. Between 1 and 1.5, the middle point is 1.25. The second middle point, between 1.5 and 2, the middle point is 1.75. The third one, the third interval, between 2 and 2.5, is going to be 2.25. And the last endpoint is going to be between 2.5 and 3, and that's 2.75. So this is a new approximation. So, yeah. If I graph that, so let's say this is 1, and this is 3, this is 2, this is my interval, right? The same interval as before, and the midpoint, so this is the midpoint here, right? This is the midpoint, this is the midpoint. This is the midpoint, and this is the midpoint. So this first one is 1.25. Second one is 1.75. This is 2.25, and this is 2.75. So I want to use this. I want to use this height as the height of my rectangle. So that means I want to use this height. So my rectangle is this. So this is my rectangle. So that's the height of the middle point. And in the next interval, I'm going to use this height, the middle point's height, as the one side of the rectangle. And then I want to use a rectangle with that height. So that's a rectangle with that height. So I want the area of that, and then the rectangle with this height. And a rectangle with that height. So the area under these red rectangles is going to give me the new approximation, which is better than both approximations. I can't tell you if it's underestimate or overestimate. It's sometimes below the curve, sometimes above the curve. So it's not obvious. Is it lower or up?
This has been a UC San Diego podcast. For more, visit podcast.ucsd.edu.